Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Outrage addiction just makes us all stupider, and it prevents us from being able to understand key distinctions, prevents us from being able to properly analyze and interpret very simple concepts that are in front of us.
That's why I think it's so sad that patriarchy has become a bad word. God is our Father. No one understands the importance of fathers better than Christians, we who have God as our Father.
At least in American evangelicalism, there is this idea that the Holy Spirit works only through spontaneity. You got to be making it up on the spot, or else it's not spiritual. The Holy Spirit apparently only works through improv.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Well, I think I can guess, going into this second hour of Issues Etc., going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, where at least some of the comments are going to be located. We had an interview recently with Bishop Eaton of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that I thought was rather fruitful in terms of simply hearing from the leader of the largest Lutheran church body in the United States on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, what she thinks the Reformation was and is all about. Our listeners found it beneficial as well, although there's some questions that remain there. We probably have to answer some of those questions in the course of going through your email and your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going through the email, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line. You can use it anytime you want to. 618-223-8382. Before we get to the email, Jeff, we have our second conference of 2017 coming up tomorrow.
I know. You ready?
I think I am. I've been having this never happens to me because my responsibilities don't really begin until the show starts at the beginning of the conference and just kind of emceeing the conference through there. But I've been having bad dreams about the conference. The first one I had was the beginning of this week, and I dreamt that we were down there at Memorial in Houston. Everybody was in the place, but we couldn't find you.
Oh, you'd be just fine. It'd probably be a better conference.
We were like searching the entire premises looking for you, and we had the show ready to begin, and it was, I don't know, it was just one of those anxiety dreams that you have.
Okay, so. Mine's worse.
Okay.
An ISIS attack.
No.
Yes, totally.
You had a dream about an ISIS attack.
Yes.
Is that why there's an email about security down there?
Yes, I sent that this morning after my... Yeah, Dr. Murray, we asked him a couple weeks ago, do you think we need security? So he looked into what it might cost.
Yeah, okay.
And so I sent you that this morning coming off my nightmarish dream.
Well, I was up about 5:45, and that was one of the first emails you sent me this morning. And
what a way to start your day.
I know. I'm just looking at this, and I'm saying, what's going on? So you had a dream last night there was an ISIS attack.
Yes, yes. And I woke up thinking all the scenarios on what how I would handle it. One of the scenarios, I ran. The other scenarios, I ran into the sanctuary, told everybody to get out. He's coming. A third scenario that I hope I would choose, I attacked the guy from behind. And so it's all played out in my head. That's why I was up since about 4 o'clock this morning.
Okay, yeah, that's why the email started about 4:30.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So anyway, and then I just got an email. I failed to tell, because Molly's spoken in the past at our conference.
Molly Hemingway,
yeah. Molly Hemingway, yes. And she and Mark will be doing two presentations. I failed to tell them that there's no PowerPoint available.
Okay.
And so...
We actually forbid PowerPoint at the conference, but...
Yeah. One time we did make an exception. So Mark emails me this morning... And he said, what did he say? We quit! Exclamation point. So I'm hoping he's being his Marcus self.
He doesn't strike me as a PowerPoint kind of a guy.
No, but Rod Dreher, here is his response. Not a problem. I'm so country, I don't even know how to do that, he said. So hopefully Mark's joking. So that's how my day started. A Mark Hemingway email, we quit. Preceded by an ISIS dream. Good morning.
But we're looking forward to it. We're going to have a full house. It's going to be a great gathering of people to hear the Hemingways on religious freedom and on engaging the news media, and Rod Dreher, author of The Benedict Option. You know, my wife, we were having dinner last night, and I was just griping about various things as I usually do. And she said, who do you have speaking at your conference? Shows how the fact that my wife listens to zero of this show. And she said, who's going to be speaking at your conference? And she knows Molly. So I said, well, Molly and her husband are going to be there. And then I thought, well, since you don't listen to the show, you don't know anybody else. The names wouldn't mean anything to you. But I think we've actually got a kind of a blockbuster lineup this time.
Very excited. Very excited. You want to get to the email?
Let's do it.
All right. So this requires some context. We've got several critical emails. We did a marketing campaign during the weeks of October 23rd through the 3rd and the 30th, right? We ran two commercials on secular conservative podcasts on, what were they, Todd? Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Michael Savage.
Was it Laura Ingraham this time?
Yeah, Laura Ingraham, The Dana Show.
Dana.
And the Federalist Radio Hour. I think that covers everybody. And then we also did a Babylon Bee campaign during the week of the 23rd. So the email is responding to these commercials that were run on these various secular conservative podcasts.
October 31st marks the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Did the reformer Martin Luther aspire to start a new church? Was he a 16th century Che Guevara intending to overthrow institutional authority? Or was this movement a conservative reformation? Find out with the podcast Issues Etc. IssuesETC.net. Real Reformation Radio. IssuesETC.net. IssuesETC.net.
So that's the ad that was running on all this
conservative
talk radio.
We'll play the second one.
Here's the second one.
What do you think of when you hear the word Lutheran? Do you think liberal, women in clerical collars, gay marriage, social justice warriors? Find out how the 16th century Lutheran Reformation was really a conservative movement intent on reform, not revolution, with the podcast Issues Etc. IssuesETC.net. Real Reformation Radio. IssuesETC.net. IssuesETC.net.
All right, so those are the two ads that ran on all of those conservative talk radio podcasts leading up to Reformation Week. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So I'll just read one of the critical, many critical emails. This comes from, Dolph is his name. He said, my issue is the ad on the radio I hear when you refer to Martin Luther as a Che Guevara, who is a murderous bastard. Please do not liken Martin Luther to this piece of stuff, a commie murderer. Please learn about the life of Martin Luther and the important work he did. Maybe you don't know about the translations of the Old Testament Hebrew to German and the New Testament of Greek to German, so the population can read the Holy Bible. Thanks for the feedback, Dolph.
Obviously not a listener to the program. I guess I can understand why someone would get the impression that we might be trying to compare Luther to Che Guevara, but we actually were trying to dispel the myth that Luther was a 16th century Che Guevara. But you sent him some further context to answer his question, right?
Yeah, so when people, if you listen closely, we didn't use our .org email or .org website address. We used the .net, which we never give out on the air. So
we track the response to these ads.
And so when they got there, the first thing they saw was our 7-part series with Dr. Larry Rass on the conservative Reformation. So we were trying to tie in the conservative secular talk radio listener into debunking a lot of the myths that Luther intended to start his own church. He rejected institutional authority. He was about revolution, not reform.
And so that was one complaint. What's another complaint we had here?
Well, it was basically that was basically the same thing. Okay. The Che Guevara was the one that got the most complaint. The second one, you notice, what we tried to do with that, the women in clerical collars, gay marriage, that was because the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is so prominent, especially on the coasts here in the United States, that one of the things we always hear from faithful pastors on the East and West Coasts is they're so prominent, and when people think Lutheran, they think liberal.
Sure.
Because of the prominence of the ELCA. So that was to try to trigger, no, these guys aren't the real Lutherans.
And we should thank Katie Cruz for voicing those ads for us. She did a fantastic
job. Female voice in St. Louis.
Yeah, she's done those for us before, and that also helps catch the attention of the average conservative talk radio listener too.
We got a lot of positive. This comes from Pastor Andrew. He said, "I've been hearing your advertisements on conservative radio podcasts. Thank you for your work. I am also pleased you are seeking a national platform for this world-changing event, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation."
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I mean, we've been talking about this for, 2 years now, Jeff? That we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to not only set the record straight on the Reformation, but get that message of the Reformation out to people who probably don't know what the Reformation is. They may have learned about it in high school history class, you know, half of a chapter on something that probably told them that Luther was a revolutionary out to start his own church and a 16th century Che Guevara. And that's all they know, if they know that. So we're simply trying to expose a new audience to the truth about it.
And the good news is that during those two week advertising or marketing campaign, our unique listeners increased by more than 10,000 during that 2 week span.
So it was worth it.
It was definitely worth it. It was expensive. And thanks to our listeners.
Right.
We were able to do it, but it was definitely worth it. All right, let's see. This comes from Donald. "Why was the woman bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America on a Reformation show? This was disturbing to our people who listen. Your questions of her were good, but there was no rebuke or admonition against the false teachings, and she was given time to spread her lies and deceit. Will there be a response to this? Better spend time and money on Orthodox teachers rather than allowing false prophets to deceive more people." 2 Timothy 3:16. Thanks for the feedback, Donald.
So let's take those in order. The reason we had her on is because she is the leader of the largest Lutheran church body in the United States. And we would be remiss if we didn't at least talk to her about it. Now, we knew exactly what we were getting ourselves into. We knew exactly what she would say. There were really no surprises there because the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and its current presiding bishop are very upfront, very, for the most part, very honest about what they believe. They wouldn't say so, but they have departed completely from the Reformation in almost every respect. Now, if you listen to that interview, and we simply wanted our audience to hear that for themselves. And with respect to a follow-up, we certainly did do a follow-up. I think we did an hour and a half of open lines.
Where you responded.
The next day where I responded point for point to each one of the answers to her questions. So we went through every one of her answers, and I and the listeners had an opportunity to respond. And then we had a counterpoint interview with Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, the second largest Lutheran church body in the United States, where he was able to give his answers to essentially the same questions that we had posed to Bishop Eaton. And the contrast between those two, we even followed up with a soundbite of the week, if I'm not mistaken, contrasting the two on the issue of, unconditional subscription to the Lutheran confession. So we were able to, I think, respond very thoroughly to Bishop Eaton. The reason we didn't do it in the course of the interview, and this is really just kind of a broadcasting reason, she had allowed us 15 minutes of the interview. She actually ended up giving us, about 20 plus minutes of the interview. So she had been slated for 15 minutes. If I would have engaged her in a debate or in kind of back and forth response on the questions, we probably wouldn't have gotten any further than question two, which was, if I recall, the question about what grace alone, to define salvation by grace alone. And her response there certainly was, you know, on the surface of it, if you weren't listening very carefully, sounded great. But if you actually took apart what she said, it required a response. And had I responded there, we would have used up all 15 minutes going back and forth on that one subject, and you wouldn't have been able to hear, due to the limited time, her answers to all the other questions we were able to ask her. So that's the main reason. We wanted our listeners to be able to hear all those answers for themselves from Bishop Eaton and not get bogged down on one of them simply because the host felt the need to debate the guest.
And you mentioned at the end of that interview that we'd be responding to it throughout the week, and President Harrison will also be on.
Right.
To give his thoughts on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Some positive email on that same interview with Bishop Eaton of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. George in Raleigh, North Carolina. I think that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a number of parishes that have much in common with the Bishop of the ELCA. There are two areas, especially here in the Southeast District, that make this true. One, the mixing of postmodernism with Lutheran doctrine resulting in violence to Scripture, and two, the view that the confessions are anachronistic and unneeded. The combination of the two is what makes, fuels the particular brand of church growth being used to generate greater and greater revenues, destruction of meaning, and destruction of doctrine. Terrific interview. Thanks, concludes George in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, there's another reason why we did the interview with Bishop Eaton. We wanted the listeners to hear this kind of, I'm going to call it, for lack of a better word, liberal code that is so prominent. You could call it the liberal lexicon that sounds right, that uses some of the right words, but defines them quite differently. And we wanted them to hear that so that if this kind of code and equivocation on things like, is Christ the only way of salvation, where she could not help but equivocate, or on the issue of confessional subscription, it was a long string of equivocations about how they like the confessions, they ask their pastors to promise to teach and practice according to them, but they don't require them to subscribe unconditionally. One big equivocation. I wanted the listeners to be able to hear that kind of liberal lexicon that is, in fact, at work not only in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and be able to recognize it when you hear it. It takes some practice. You actually have to listen to what a liberal Lutheran says to be able to recognize their lexicon, their code, when you hear it.
On that vein, Daryl listens in Texas, and he writes, the bishop uses the phrase freedom in Christ throughout the interview. Is this language used to justify any departure from scriptural teaching? Great question.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. So a great example of that is the recent, fairly recent, 2008-2009 official decision on the part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to basically ignore Scripture, finally admit that they were ignoring Scripture, and approve of homosexuality and all the other deviant forms of human sexuality, and to encourage this, even in their clergy roster, to ordain openly practicing LGBT, whatever you have there, persons. How did they do it? They did it by asserting their freedom in Christ. In the name of freedom, that is, and they'd even call it gospel freedom, in the name of gospel freedom, they believe that gospel freedom allows them even to ignore Scripture. And when we did our analysis of our Eaton interview, you will notice I talked a lot about gospel reductionism. It's kind of a fancy way of talking about this notion that freedom in the gospel renders anything that you can classify as not the gospel in Scripture irrelevant or optional or perhaps even not the word of God. So you can look at Scripture and you can use the gospel to trump any text you want. Jeff Gibbs, one of my dearest teachers during my postgraduate seminary days, often said the gospel doesn't trump the text. The gospel is there in Scripture. It is the center of Scripture. It is the beating heart of Scripture. But it does not, you cannot use it to undo, ignore, or as I said before, erase any doctrine in Scripture or any passage of Scripture. The gospel does not trump the text. The text says what it says. Sometimes it will speak the gospel and sometimes it will speak the law, but the gospel does not trump the text. In other words, you can't take the gospel and look at something that's taught in Scripture and say, well, this doesn't seem gospel-y enough to me. And so maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the gospel. And since the gospel is the only thing that matters, as is asserted in gospel reductionism, this doesn't matter. When we come back, more of your listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday afternoon, November the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons. Preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armed forces, the LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armed forces. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Jeff, we had some critical email before the break and some laudatory email before the break. What is next?
This comes from Arthur. He listens to us in Peekskill, New York. He said, "Dear Pastor Wilkin, love your show and you on Issues Etc. It is so very great. You are up there, in my opinion, with Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. I am not sure that I heard you correctly today on the show when you commented that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is 95% in agreement with Roman Catholicism. That cannot possibly be true. We are the true church that broke away from the corrupt Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, which is the seat of Antichrist. We could never be in agreement with the Antichrist. It is very sad that since Vatican II of the 1960s and the liberal explosion that hit our synod in the 1980s, our beloved Missouri Synod is now leaning into wanting to be Roman Catholic again. The Reformation busted us out of the hold that Satan had and the horrendous sinful theology and indulgence belief. Please clarify or modify your statement. Thanks for listening in New York State, Arthur."
I will modify. I'll go back. I'll go to 90%. 95% is probably overstating the case. So I will go to 90%. And what I'm talking about there is the entire body of teaching. If you have the entire body of Christian doctrine, there are a lot of places where we disagree with the Roman Catholic Church. But there are far more places where we actually agree. Now, where we disagree is so significant that, you quite rightly said, what became necessary was a break with the Roman Catholic Church because the places, although they are relatively few in number in comparison to everything that Scripture teaches, the whole body of doctrine, that 10% is so significant in its impact in what the church teaches and practices that the rift remains between Lutherans and Roman Catholics. And as long as that rift, that those disagreements remain as significant as they are, then the rift must remain. So I'm not saying that we're moving back toward Roman Catholicism at all. In fact, if anything, I think Rome may have moved our direction a little bit unwittingly, but not far in our direction at all. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about things like the Trinity. I'm talking about Christ's presence in the Lord's Supper, baptismal regeneration. And if you look at the actual teachings point for point in the Roman Catholic Catechism, there's a lot to agree with there. But where we disagree is still so very significant. At the heart of our disagreement is, of course, how a man is declared righteous before a just God, how sinners are declared righteous before a just God. That disagreement, in spite of what everybody has been saying in the last 10 years or so, remains. And that single disagreement would be enough, even if it were only, let's just call that one point of doctrine and 1,000 points of doctrine, that single disagreement would be enough. And that disagreement permeates the other teachings of the Roman Catholic Church to such an extent that we end up disagreeing on even more things. But as to, if you just look at the whole body of doctrine, we don't, what I'm trying to say here is we do not reject what the Roman Catholic Church teaches just because they teach it. If we did that, well, Roman Catholics believe in the Trinity. Well, we got to reject that. Roman Catholics believe in the incarnation of Christ. Well, we got to reject that. They believe in the resurrection. We got to reject that because Catholics believe it. That is not how the Reformation proceeded. We did this recent series on the conservative Reformation where Dr. Larry Rast repeated again and again, it is far more important to know what the reformers retained than what they rejected. Now, it is important to know what they rejected, but it's far more important to know what they retained of the church's teaching, because when you're right, you're right. And I'll say 90%. On 90%, point for point of doctrine, we agree. But that 10% is still so very significant in the body of doctrine that the disagreement remains.
I think a point of clarification, he writes, we are the true church that broke away from the corrupt Roman Catholic Church. No, that's what I grew up believing, too.
Well, yeah, and that's a very common belief, especially among Roman Catholics, oddly, that we broke away, that we kind of chipped ourselves off and start like off of a ice floe and floated away on our own. Now, the Reformers maintain that what they believe, teach, and confess is what the church has believed, taught, and confessed. The true church has believed, taught, and confessed all along. And that they have not changed or introduced any innovations into the church's teaching or practice. In fact, they charge the Roman Catholic Church with both changing and introducing innovations into teaching and practice. But the break between the Reformers and the Roman Catholic Church was largely one of excommunication. Luther did not quit the church. He was excommunicated from the church. He might at times say, well, Rome left me or something like that, which we can understand in kind of a casual sense. But this notion that our goal was to somehow to be the true church is certainly one of the goals, but our goal is somehow to break away from the Roman Catholic Church. What they sought, that's why it's called a Reformation. If you, in one sense, you have to call the Reformation an utter failure, at least historically. And don't get me wrong. What I mean is, what they hoped to do was to reform the whole church. They hoped to be heard and to be understood and for the whole Roman Catholic Church to see the error of its ways and to reform. And in that respect, they utterly failed. The Roman Catholic Church actually just dug itself in deeper in the Council of Trent that followed, or in the waning years of what we call the Reformation. So now, don't get me wrong, the Reformation is not a failure in the sense that the Word of God can never fail. But the fact that they had hoped that the whole church would embrace their doctrine was met with failure, sad to say.
This email comes from Lanthier. He's responding to a Reformation Encore interview with Dr. Carl Schalk on the Reformation in music. He writes, "Rarely have I heard such bombastic ignorance on the subject of music. The word maudlin and Beethoven's Titanic Ninth in the same sentence. It only proves the trite inadequacies cranking from Dr. Schalk's doctrinal machine. Please spare the great works of human history from your musically illiterate comments. Fortunately, the wonderful welter of reality is not bound by your rigid, airless categories, however theological. It takes a dull God indeed to create the kind of world you claim he wanted, all sterile, morally correct, and not even interesting, let alone beautiful. The rigor mortis of holiness. Thanks for the feedback."
I don't even know what to say to that. Someone spent a lot of time trying to insult one of the preeminent Lutheran scholars in music, Dr. Carl Schalk, entirely undeserved. Repent of that. Dr. Carl Schalk is a recognized expert in not only music, but in Lutheran music as well, in Christian music. Now, you disagree with him. That's fine. But you don't have to insult the man. Repent. When we come back, we're going to go through more listener email, and we're going to listen to a comment or two from the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, it's Mr. Bowen. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh yeah, wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh yeah, you gotta wait a minute, wait a minute.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd. Welcome. We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. You can find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Lifelong Lutheran learning, issuesetc.org. Click Concordia University, Wisconsin online. Here's a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line about rationalism.
Pastor Todd, this is in regard to the Enlightenment and the failure of reason. I have heard several recent shows discussing how our modern beliefs derive from the Enlightenment and that those enlightened beliefs cannot bear the weight we are trying to place on them. John Locke and the Family is one of those more recent shows. It seems to me that the principal enlightened belief is that man's reason is sufficient, and that the Enlightenment has failed because it has been unable to come up with a binding sense of morality based on reason alone. Reason alone is not sufficient. Reason becomes a servant to our sin. It justifies our sin. That's the use we put on it. Western civilization is a byproduct of Christianity. And not only has the Enlightenment cut itself from the root, Christianity, it has, for the past several decades, been pouring weed killer on the root. Now, the church is going to be just fine. We have Christ's promise. But for people who proclaim their reliance on reason, it's amazing to me that we can't see that how we have gone wrong these past several decades. Thank you.
Thank you very much, smartest listeners in radio. Of course, the track record is, at least to those who look at it objectively, is one failure after another. Now, you said something there that kind of the premise of the Enlightenment is that reason is sufficient. And that's part of the premise of the Enlightenment. I think I would strengthen it a little bit and say the premise there is that reason isn't just sufficient, it's supreme. Or of late, and even Enlightenment era rationalism didn't do this, of late, the 21st century version of the Enlightenment is that reason is the only source of truth that there is. That there's no other source of truth other than our own innate reason. But you're quite right in pointing out that reason is fallen. And because reason is fallen, it ceases to be what it was created to be. Everything affected by the fall, in one sense or another, is perverted by sin. And not just perverted, but turned into something that it was never intended by God, our Creator, to be, to serve a purpose that it was never intended to serve. It's not as though reason is pristine, and that may be the most dangerous thing about the Enlightenment. Somehow reason has survived the fall in a pristine state and can be used without any other source of truth in order to find truth. But it's a broken tool. Now, we don't do away with reason. What we do is we put it in its proper place. It must be normed. It must be corrected by the final source of truth, which is God's revelation in His Word. So reason, rather than being made master of God's Word, or much less in the 21st century, substitute for God's Word, is put in service of God's Word. It can only do what it can do, and it still does it in the fallen way, so it must be ruled by the word of God, and it must be always be, we talk about a magisterial use of reason, which is where reason is used over God's word or as a substitute for God's word, and we talk about a ministerial use of reason in which reason takes its proper place beneath the authority of God's word. Although I would say this, we were talking about rationalism and the Enlightenment. I asked Larry Rast, I believe at one point recently, whether or not we're still living in the Enlightenment, and he kind of said, well, you know, we certainly are living in the latest version of the Enlightenment, something like that. But look at what's happening, especially in Western civilization, in our own society here in America. People are not even appealing to reason anymore, are they? many of go on a college campus and see if you can find someone who's capable of reason nowadays. The new source of truth is not reason. The new source of truth, that may be true of their professors, but among the college students, the new source of truth is mere feeling. If I feel it, it's true. If I feel something, that makes that something true. And how I feel about it is more relevant than what may actually be true or what I may know about it. We live in a society now where increasingly people don't seek to know things, but simply to feel things and express those feelings. So we may be in a post-rational society right now.
All right, let's try to get one more email in before this break here. Caleb writes, one of the teachers at my Southern Baptist High School said that the kingdom of God is inside of us and that we have to bring it forth into the world in order to make everything without sin or death. He used Luke 17:21-22 in the Passion Translation to support this. This seems to be a bad translation, but could you please give a biblical explanation for why the kingdom of God is understood as the church in Lutheranism? Thanks for listening, Caleb.
Okay, there are several questions there. First of all, based upon that passage in Luke chapter 17, you got to note something. Jesus does say, and I checked the Greek, he does say the kingdom of God is within you. He does say that. Now, who is he talking to? Go up just to verse 20 in Luke chapter 17. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. So, understanding this phrase in context is very important. If Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, who are unbelievers, he cannot be telling them that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is in them. Unbelievers are not part of the kingdom of God, much less possessors of the kingdom of God. Speaking to unbelievers, this can only mean, and this is why it's usually translated, in your midst or among you or something like that. Because he's speaking to Pharisees, not to believers. Were he speaking to his disciples, one could make the case that Jesus is saying that the kingdom somehow dwells within our hearts, but he's not. He's speaking to unbelievers. What is Jesus actually saying here? He's saying the kingdom of God is here in your midst, namely the king himself, Jesus. The very element of the kingdom of God that the Pharisees refused to acknowledge. But then this notion that somehow, even if it were inside us, that we have to bring it out and kind of spew it out onto the world or something, that's not in anything Jesus says here at all. Why is it the Lutherans understand the kingdom of God to be synonymous with the church? Because that's how Jesus understood it. Everything Jesus says of the kingdom of God ultimately describes the church either here, militant, the kingdom of God suffers violence, or there in its fulfillment, in its perfection, where he tells parables about the kingdom of God. But in each and every case, at the center of that kingdom is none other than the king himself, Jesus. Take away the king, and there's no kingdom to be discussed. When we come back, some more of your email and comments. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the For You of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday afternoon.
Benjamin writes, when listening to the weekly sermon and service overall, scripture readings, selected hymns, what are some specific questions to ask myself to be more engaged so that I can put into practice and teach family and friends what the pastor is preaching? This could be a suggestion for part of the show, how the layman can maximize Sunday service, not just go mindlessly out of habit. Thanks for the email, Benjamin.
Well, we have actually been doing two long-running series here on the program to deal with that very concern that you raised there, and thanks for raising it. They're parallel series. We finished a series on looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year lectionary, it's the set of readings appointed for the church Sunday after Sunday that rolls over every year. It's called the one-year lectionary with Pastor David Peterson. And we've also been doing Looking Forward to Sunday Morning with Dr. Carl Fakencher on the three-year lectionary, which is that set of readings that has a year, a B year, and a C year, and rolls over every 3 years. And we're coming close to concluding that one with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary. And the whole goal of that is to anticipate what is coming Sunday morning in the propers, the readings, all those things that change Sunday to Sunday, to prepare for them. And so that when you walk in on Sunday morning, you're not walking in as an empty slate. You're walking in, you know what the readings are going to be. You've given it some thought and you're ready to hear preaching. You're ready to hear the sermon. You're ready to sing the hymn of the day. You're ready to, it's not your first exposure to these things. And this is just a good way of preparing yourself for Sunday morning, period. That's why we've done these series and expended the amount of time and effort to do those things, because the best way to benefit from Sunday morning is not to start Sunday morning at 9 a.m. when the church bells ring. Now, you can certainly do that and benefit from it. There's no doubt about that. God's word is God's word. But preparation also has additional benefits when you start to read and hear that word that you're going to hear on Sunday morning before Sunday morning. So that's my best recommendation, is to listen to one of those, depending on what your pastor preaches, of 1 year or the 3 year lectionary. You can find it all in our archive there. Just go to that Sunday and you hear it all. It's kind of spoon fed to you in a way. And you're ready then Sunday morning to walk in. You know what you're going to be hearing and you're ready to listen to that sermon.
You know, families struggle with, you know, family devotions, right? And so I try to come up with these great creative ideas and everything. I don't know how, probably at least 10 years ago or so for the Schwartz family. And we have children ranging from a freshman in college to a first grader and 5 kids total. But it hit me that all we do is go through the lessons for that coming Sunday. So, you know, Monday, the hymn of the day will be every day. The hymn of the day, we'll sing that as a family. We will read the gospel lesson on one day, the epistle lesson, the Old Testament, the psalm on another day. And it's amazing how when you do that and your kids, especially little kids, like, this isn't the first time I heard this. I remember, you know, we've been talking about that lesson this week or that Bible story this week. Another thing that's helpful too, Todd, that I try to do, they have LCMS lectionary summaries. You go to, just type in a Google search engine, LCMS lectionary summaries. A lot of churches will put that in the front of your bulletin. And that goes, kind of ties in the theme for all the lessons for that week. And that helps me as a leader of the household to kind of make sense of all the lessons that we're going to be studying this week as a family. That's very beneficial.
And that's simply just kind of preparing yourself is what we're talking about. And it's beneficial for the whole family to prepare yourself. And what you'll find is that the longer that you do this, the more familiar all this stuff starts to sound when you get there on Sunday morning. You realize, oh, wait a minute, I remember that this gospel reading actually goes with that Old Testament reading, and I might even remember why they go together. Why that Old Testament reading is, as Dr. Fikentroff says, is keyed off of the gospel reading. And you start to see what each Sunday holds by way of a message. Your pastor is going to preach a different sermon every Sunday, and he does it. Why? Because he's got different gospel readings, different propers to work from.
Yeah. So like this Sunday, if you're the one-year lectionary, it makes sense. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant, the hymn of the day, chief of sinners though I be. Jesus shed his blood for me. And you just kind of clicks in, these things, you know, fit.
There's a reason why, there is a reason why what happens on Sunday morning happens. It's not your pastor's preference. Now, if it is your pastor's preference, I would defy you to find a reason why it happens. But largely speaking, pastors who are faithful to the historic lectionaries and to the liturgy, they're not just picking hymns randomly or off the top of their head. There's a reason for it that is guided by the wisdom of the church over centuries, in some cases, millennia.
Jerry writes, thanks for your podcast. They have brought me back to faith in Christ.
Wow. That's good to hear. Jerry, find yourself a church. Podcasts aren't enough. I'm not trying to discourage you from listening, but podcasts aren't enough. Podcasts, I'm very glad to have been able to help in that respect. We all are, but find yourself a faithful pastor where what you hear in the podcast or on the radio here is repeated and, quite frankly, done in a much better fashion by a faithful pastor and a faithful congregation. Best advice I can give you, find yourself a faithful pastor and a faithful congregation. I can't remain Christian without those things, and neither can you.
This comes from Wade. He says, when I catch Terry Mattingly being interviewed, he sounds like he is in studio. How do you get such a clear sound? Keep up the great work, writes Wade.
Well, you might have noticed that not only with Terry Mattingly, with Dr. Carl Fikentscher, with Brian Wolfmiller, with Chris Roseborough, with, to a slightly lesser degree, Jennifer Roback Morse. Who else, Jeff?
Anybody coming from Fort Wayne Seminary in addition to Dr. Fikentscher, Pastor Ted Geese.
Mm-hmm. All of those guests. We use a little miracle of technology that allows us to, over the internet, to set up a little remote studio with each one of those guests, which we have done in the case of Terry Mattingly and several others. And he goes into a little remote studio that we've set up, I believe, in his home there, south of the Mason-Dixon line. And we hook it together over the internet before the interview, and they sound like they're sitting across the table from me. It's something that we decided to do a couple of years ago with the regular guests and with the best of our guests in order to bring our listeners the absolute best sound we can possibly bring to them. I'm glad you appreciate it, because it sounds a heck of a lot better than a terrible Skype line or a dirty phone line, which we had to live with for a long time until the technology came along.
And thanks to a very generous donation that we received this week, we'll be purchasing four of those for 2018.
Oh, do you know who they're going to yet?
Well, we talked about putting it at four of the Concordia Universities.
Oh, so whoever is there can go into that little studio, and we can speak to them. It sounds like they're right here in this studio.
Lots of email about this. Will Issues, etc. be making the case sessions available via audio DVD again this year?
We certainly will. In fact, I think we're going to make it available, if I'm not mistaken, the audio for both conferences on the same DVD. Is that correct?
A year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. You'll get both conferences this year.
Now, if you attend the conference,
it's only $25.
It's only $25 because you attended the conference. But for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300, the full audio of both conferences, both our Collinsville conference that was held in June and the one that we're about to hold tomorrow in Houston, Texas. And you could still register for it, by the way. $80 won't include meals or child care. You can register at issuesetc.org, or if you call really fast, 618-223-8385. And if they don't answer, we've already left the building and are headed down to Houston. But you can register at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org, there's a big link to the Houston Conference, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, which we are about to leave for. And we hope you enjoy the broadcast in the meantime and the DVD of both conferences at the end of the year.
Well, Todd, Houston, here we come. And if people want to walk up tomorrow on Friday, November 10th at Memorial, we'll make room for you. It's $80. That does include the meal plan or child care.
All right, that'll be good. Looking forward to seeing everybody who's going to be there. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. We're going to be talking with Dr. Lawrence White about the sin of silence, something he's been talking about for a long time. And we'll have Pastor Ted Geese review the movie Thor Ragnarok. Issues Etc. live from the Making the Case Conference in Houston. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.